because we're continuing our series of shiurim about the concept of bialos. We thought before we started the shiurim that bialos is very simple, either I own it or you own it. So we found out that that's not so simple. You can have multiple owners, you can have multiple dimensions of ownership. You can have, we spoke a lot about the maskir and the socher relationship, and the kinyan peiros, kinyan aguf relationship, and tovos hanor relationship. Now we're going to move on to another aspect of multiple types of bialos. And that's the relationship of what the Gemara calls the issue, what's called shalom versus b'shuso. Usually when I own something, so it's mine, it's what's considered to be shalom. So shalom is usually translated as the official title, whereas b'shuso has a little bit of a different connotation. The Gemara speaks about the following example of something where we can have an item that's shalom, but ain't a b'shuso. The Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma, when something is stolen from me, something is stolen, so it still belongs to me, unless somehow I've lost my rights of ownership in that, which is the whole sugya in and of itself. But just because somebody stole an item from me doesn't mean it's no longer mine. So it's considered technically to be shali. And once it's stolen from me, it's called shalom ve'eino b'shuso. So what is the significance of that statement? Something is shalom ve'eino b'shuso. The Gemara has a major machlokes amaroim, which then the Gemara relates back was really a machlokes atanoim, about the following question. Usually, when I own something, so I have the rights to transfer ownership to somebody else. I could be machdish, I could be mafkir, I can sell, I can give a maton, a lot of different ways. I can transfer ownership about an item. So all of those rights and opportunities, privileges of being able to transfer ownership, according to one whole group of tanoim and amoraim, only apply if the item is shali ubishusi. But if an item was stolen from me, and now I want to subsequently transfer ownership of that item, I can't do that. So what would that mean practically? So I'm Rabbi Yechanan. If something was stolen from me, and I want to go ahead and be makdish to the base of Mikdash, so Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't have the authority, I don't have the ability to do that. And even if I declare it's hektish l'shamayim, and then the God of comes the next day and returns it back to me, it doesn't belong to the base of Mikdash. That hektish was null and void. I don't have the koach, I don't have the ability in halacha to be makdish it, or for that matter, I don't have the ability to be mafker it, or I don't have the ability to sell it, or even matan, anything, any expression of bialos, any transfer of ownership can only be done by something on something which is shali ubi shusi. The Gazan for sure can't be machdish. The Gazan doesn't even own it; he's nothing. But even the nitzel, the person who still retains the technical bialos on it, it's shali, but albeit shali be in a bishusi, and I can't be machdish. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says this is ultimately based on a poskim chumash. The Torah says ish kiyaktish is based on kodesh l'Hashem. The model that the Torah gives a big makdish, something to the base of Mikdash, is a bayis, a house. So Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ma beiso b'shuso, avko b'shuso." Only if something is in my rishus, my house belongs to me, my house is b'shusi, it's shali b'shusi, then only then do I have the koach to be makdish. If it's shali and a b'shusi, then I don't have the authority, I don't have the ability to be makdish. This is Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush. And the Gemara says that his Talmud Rish Lakish disagreed with him. Rish Lakish says, "No such halacha." Now Rish Lakish says, "Ma beiso shaloi, avko shalo." In order to be makdish something, you only have to own it, whether it's b'shuscho or not b'shuscho, that doesn't make a difference. The fact that it's stolen and sitting in somebody else's backyard, that doesn't detract from your ability to be makdish. Rish Lakish disagrees. In the seventh paragraph of the Kama, goes on to explain that this machlekes of Yechon Rish Lakish didn't start then. This is an old machlekes going back, way, way back to the days of the Tanoim, whether there's such a principle of Eino b'shuso or not. How do we understand this principle of Eino b'shuso? How do we define whether something is considered to be b'shuso or not? So the model that the Gemara gives is gezeila. That's the case, that's the ultimate case, the prototype of shalom ve'eino b'shuso, something that was stolen from me. So comes the Balamor in the beginning of the fourth parak of Maseches Bava Kamma and puts the brakes on this din. Comes the Balamor and says, not every time something is stolen from me does it automatically transform to be called Eino b'shuso. Says the Balamor, what if Reuven stole something from me, and Reuven feels very bad? He calls me up on the phone every morning and he says, "Listen, I feel terrible. I stole something six months ago. I'm willing to return it. Sitting outside, go pick it up. Sitting in my mailbox, go pick it up and fine. You can take it whatever you want." So comes the Balamor and says, once the Goslin is ready to return the item, even though he hasn't technically returned it, that's already considered to be b'shus of the nigzel. At that point, that halachic status of b'shus terminates. It's the chiddush of the Balamor. So comes the Ramban and the Mechamas Hashem in the fourth parak of Bava Kamma and says it's not true. It says, Lohayu Dvar Meyoylem. Just the fact that the person is willing to return it doesn't change anything. It's still considered to be Gezela. It ain't over till it's over. It's not considered to be Mufka, the Shem Gezela. It's not considered to be Mufka, the Shem Yelabishu. So, until he actually returns it. Once he Mamash returns, the Nation is Gezela, and the Gazans have the picture, then of course I can be Machdish it. The Kolzman, he has to literally put it into my hands, just because he's willing to return and ready to return it, that's not sufficient. So what is the Nekudas HaMachlekes between the Balamor and the Ramban? What are they arguing about? So it's usually presented in the yeshivas that this Machlekes, the Balamor and the Ramban, is fundamental, is a basic fundamental Machlekes as to how do we define Eina B'Shusu in the first place. This beer, which again, pretty much is the word on the street today, it can be found in the Sefer Divi Yecheska. Divi Yecheska was one of the Rashivas in Slobodka. So he presents this Biarichos, and then it's caught, this beer has caught on in the last 100 years. So comes the Divi Yecheska and says that the Nekudas HaMachlokes between Balamor and the Ramban revolves around the following point. Why exactly is something Eina B'Shusu? What exactly is the halachic category called Eina B'Shusu? So comes the Divi Yecheska and suggests that the Balamor seem to understand that Eina B'Shusu is a very Metzias-oriented halacha. What makes something Eina B'Shusu? Eina B'Shusu is defined by not being in control. If I have my item, nobody's touched it, I have my car sitting in my driveway, I'm living in my house, I have my cash in my pocket, I'm totally in control. Nobody else has any control. Nobody else has any access to my property. That's called Shelo U'B'Shusu. But if I own something, but I'm not in control of it, I physically don't have access to it, so that's called Shelo V'Eino B'Shusu. So that's the Machlekes of Yechav V'Shlokesh. In order to be Machdish something, in order to be Mafkes, in order to be Mochenos in something, is it sufficient to be called Shelo, or do you also need not only title, not only Bailos, but you need access as well? So comes the Balamor and says that since the definition of Eina B'Shusu means a lack of control, a lack of access to, that's when the Gazan is holding back. When the Gazan is saying, I'm not giving it back to you, I'm holding on to it, I'm not willing to return it to you. The Gazan says, I stole it, finished, tough luck. That's considered to be Eina B'Shusu. Once the Gazan is in Chayz B'Tshuva, once the Gazan says, listen, I'm giving it back to you, go take it, you have free reign, you have free access, go take it whenever you want. So then the Gazan has been Mafkia, the Gazan has in effect abolished that status called Eina B'Shusu, and now I can be Makdish it even before it actually comes to my hand. So according to the Balamor, the definition of Eina B'Shusu is very physical oriented, is very control oriented, is very Olam Hazeh oriented. Once that limitation of my control no longer applies, then Memeila, the din of Eina B'Shusu falls by the wayside as well. That's the Balamor presents the nature of this din. So what's the Ramban? How does the Ramban understand? So comes the Ramban and says no. Comes the Ramban and says that we misunderstood what the meaning of Eina B'Shusu was in the first place. Says the Ramban, what created the status of Eina B'Shusu was not something just physical, not just a physical lack of not having accessibility, not having control of the item. That's not what creates the Eina B'Shusu. What creates the Eina B'Shusu is a halacha concept called the Kinyan Gezela. What in the world does the term Kinyan Gezela mean? So here the Gemara is in the 7th parak of Bava Kamma, the 9th parak of Bava Kamma, explained to us that the term Kinyan Gezela really has two different meanings. There are not a brisket terminology, it's very, very simple sigas in the Gemara. Well, not simple, it's two problems of Bava Kamma, but there are basically two different aspects of what's called the Kinyan Gezela. What exactly happens when a Gazan steals something? Who owns the item when a Gazan steals something? The answer is, it still belongs to the Nigzel. Just because you stole, you broke into my house, you mugged me, took away my money, doesn't make the money belong to you. So obviously the money still belongs to me, the car still belongs to me. Obviously I'm still the bailam on the item. Nevertheless, the halacha declares that the Gazlan has attained what's called the Kinyan Gezela. Now Kinyan Gezela doesn't mean that he gets to keep the item, right? Any stretch of the imagination. What Kinyan Gezela means is that by doing a Maisa Gezela, doing a Maisa Kineva, the Gazlan has created for himself a certain status vis-a-vis the item, which we call it Atoras Kinyan. We call it Parshas HaKinyonim. What exactly does that mean? What are the ramifications of that Kinyan? If he doesn't own the item, so what are the ramifications of the Kinyan? So first and foremost, he becomes responsible for that item. If he steals my car, so he made a Kinyan on the car, a Kinyan Gezela, not a Kinyan. mechira, not a kinyan matona, not a kinyan that's going to acquire the item for him, but it's a kinyan to obligate him the achrayas on the item. Moshe l'moda v'doyma, a shomer also, in a certain sense, has a kinyan. If I, or a socher has a kinyan, if I borrow something, if I rent something from you, so we make a ma'aseh kinyan on it, and that ma'aseh kinyan now obligates me to a certain degree of achrayas. So the gazlan also, even though he wasn't interested in being mekabel achrayas, he wants to take the item for himself, the Torah says that by doing a ma'aseh kinyan on it, he becomes chayv in achrayas. To what level of achrayas does a gazlan have? The highest possible. He's above and beyond even a shoyl. He's chayv in everything. He's chayv on oynes, and he's chayv on meisim achas v'loch, he's chayv on pshich, everything. Hakam mikol kol. What's the mocha and chumish for this kid in gezel? What's the mocha for this achrayas that a gazlan has? It's a beferish of pasuk and chumish. The heishim is a gezel a shagazal. The Torah says that the gazlan has to return the item that he stole. So look in that pasuk of the heishim is a gezel. Is that the Torah is obligating him? The Torah is parshas the kinyan, and the kinyan gezel that he does when he goes in and he picks up the item, he becomes a gazlan. He's a gazlan. He has a kinyan on the item l'chol dover, not l'chol dover in the sense of that he can keep it, but l'chol dover that in terms of all levels of all layers of achrayas. And what if the item disappears? What's the din of it? Somebody steals something from me, and then the item gets lost. The item gets stolen from him. The item gets destroyed. So then the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, the ninth parak of Bava Kama tells us that he has to pay. Kol gazlan mishami kishasa gazela. Then he becomes chayav to pay for the item. The same as a shomer. If a shomer chinam is watching something, he became chayav in achrayas, and then he's pesheya that he's negligent, so he has to pay. If the item's not around, he's got to pay me money. So to the gazlan, if the item's not around, then he has to pay me money. So that halacha that a gazlan becomes chayav in achrayas, that halacha kicks in when a kinyan is done, when a kinyan gazela is done. That's what the Mishnah says in Bava Kama in the seventh parak. That let's say somebody comes into my house and they steal my item, but when they stole the item, they didn't quite make a kinyan. They got the item, but they didn't make an official formal kinyan. So the Mishnah says he's not considered to be a gazlan. What kind of official formal kinyan does he have to make? Either a kinyan hagvar or a kinyan mashicha. So 99.99% of the time, when you steal something, you made a kinyan. So let's say you come to my driveway and you steal my car. So you drove the car out. So you made a mashicha on the car. You break into my barn. You take my animal. You take it out. So you made a kinyan mashicha on the animal. But the din is that a kinyan mashicha only takes place outside of the rishus of the moicher. So too the Mishnah says that a kinyan mashicha for a gazlan can only take place outside of the rishus of the nigzel. So let's say you break into my barn and you drag my animal, and you didn't take it out of my rishus yet. You're still in my backyard, and then the animal dies, so you're not chayev because you didn't steal yet. That's not called the gazela. It's only called the gazela when you made a ma'aseh kinyan. So mashicha b'shus ha-nigzel, or in case of mashicha b'shus ha-meicher, is not binding, is not considered to be a ma'aseh kinyan, so you're not technically a gazlan yet. What if you picked up the sheep? What if you picked up the items? Then hagbah is kedi b'chamokam, the Gemara says. That hagbah, lifting something up, just as in the realm of mekach memker, hagbah can be kainah under all circumstances. So too, hagbah in the realm of gazan and nitzel can be kainah under all circumstances as well. But until you did either a kidin hagbah or a kidin mashicha, so in Okinami, the din is that the kidin gazela didn't take effect. And since the kidin gazela didn't take effect, so memela, the requirement, the achrayas, the chiv hashava didn't kick in either, and the chiv hashava doesn't kick in, so then the gazlan is not technically chayav. And if something, let's say, I break into your barn, and I quote-unquote steal your animal, but I didn't do agbah, I didn't do a valid mashicha, and then the animal gets struck by lightning, it's not my problem. I'm not chayav. I didn't do a gazela yet. I didn't steal. I had bad intentions, but you know, you're not chayav to pay for bad intentions. So kozman, I didn't do an official gazela. So gazela is defined by a ma'aseh kinyan. So that concept of a kinyan gezela clearly exists in halacha. First and foremost, that's what creates the chiyav achrayas for you. Then there's a second level of a kinyan gezela, where that's the mishnayis, in the beginning of the ninth parak of Bava Kama, where the Mishnah describes as follows. Let's say I stole something from you. I stole wood. I broke into your backyard. I stole logs of wood. And now I go ahead and I take that wood and I make it into a table. I change the wood. I do a shinui. So that, we have another principle called a gazlan is kind of a shinui. When a gazlan changes the item that he stole, a gozel eitzim v'yosa kelim, a gozel tzem v'yosa begin. A person steals an item and then turns it into something else. So then the gazlan is kona. So what do you mean he's kona? We just said he was kona originally by the original taking of the wood. No, now we're talking about a second level of kinyan. Once a shinui is done, that's a whole different ballgame. Now the gazlan is kind of the gufa dover. Now he's allowed to keep the furniture. Now he's allowed to keep the clothing. He does not have to give the furniture back. He doesn't have to give the clothing back. Why? He was kind of b'shinui. And here, when kind of b'shinui means that he's kind of the entire item. He's kind of the gufa dover. How come he can call it now belongs to the gazlan? So what does he have to pay? He has to pay. He still has to pay for the raw materials that he stole. It's no worse than if the animal was struck by lightning. So here he stole wood, and the wood's not here anymore. So the Heshiv is exiled. He has to return the wood, but the wood's not here anymore. So he gets to keep the furniture, but he has to return the value, the damim, the monetary value, but the wood was b'shas ha'gezela. So when we speak about a gazlan being kone b'shinoi, that's not the same as the original kidin gezela we were speaking about. There are two levels, two gradations of kidin gezela. There's the kidin gezela number one, that every gazlan gets at the time of gezela itself. It belongs to him vis-a-vis achiv achrayis, but he doesn't get to keep the guf hadavar. If he's caught before he turns the wood into furniture, he has to return the wood itself. That's stage number one. And stage number two is, after he turns the wood into furniture, then he becomes a kind of a shinoi. And once he's kind of a shinoi, then he's kind of the guf hadavar. He only has to pay cash. So the term kidin gezela is sometimes used in different ways to mean different things. Sometimes we're referring to the first kidin gezela, which is only vis-a-vis achrayis. And the second kidin gezela is to be kind of the guf hadavar. What's the mochor for the second din? How do you know that Gaza is kind of the guf hadavar? So that the Gemara says in the end of Avakam is learned out from the same pasuk. The Heshav says Zeila Shia Gozal. Asher Gozal means that you stole. Im ki ein Shia Gozal Yachser. Im Laval Yachser. If the item is the same as like you stole it, the Heshav says Shia Gozal. If I stole wood and the wood is still here, so that's taka, the Heshav have to return the wood. If the wood is not here anymore, so it's not a shagozal, it's not an ancient gozal, and therefore I'm able to keep the wood, and I just have to pay you the cash. So we're not focusing on the second kidin gezela now, we're focusing on the first kidin gezela. It's that relationship that a gazlan has with the item, that it becomes chayav achrayis. So comes the Ramban and says, it's that kidin gezela that the gazlan attains, that now detracts from the ownership, from the complete bialus of the nixel. Because Kozman, that nobody stole my item, it was Shali Ubershusi. But once a gazlan comes and steals the item, so he gets halachic rights to that item. Doesn't mean he can keep it, doesn't mean he's the owner, doesn't mean it's Shalo, but he has a certain halachic share in that item. He now has a kidin gezela on that item. His kidin gezela is what's mafkia my Bershusi. Once somebody else has a kidin gezela in my chayfetz, so that's no longer considered to be Bershusi. And that's what Rabbi Yechon was driving at. When Rabbi Yechon says, Mabesa b'shusa afko b'shusa, what that means is, you only have the ability to be makdish, to be mafkid, to be nesim matana, to be meichet, to transfer ownership on an item, only if it's considered to be shalo b'shusa, i.e. nobody else has a stake in it, nobody else has a kinin gazela in it. Once the other person has a kinin gazela in it, that's mafkiya my bailus. That's mafkiya my bias vis-a-vis the ability to be moichivit. That's the halacha of kodeinu b'shusa. So therefore, the Ramban argues, at what point does the kidin gezela of the gazlan paka? What point does that kidin gezela cease to exist? Well, the answer is, once he returns it. Because Kozman, that he hasn't fulfilled the Heshav HaSeg Gezela yet, so then he still has that kidin gezela. Once he gives it back to me, so then it's returned, then the kidin gezela is over. So from the minute that he returns it, the item gets struck by lightning at that point, he's not responsible anymore. Then, of course, it reverts back to being completely mine. So that's what the Ramban argues with the Baal HaMor. That's what the Ramban says, that the fact that the gazlan is willing to return it, he doesn't do anything. He has the mamash return it. If you hold that inner b'shusa is created by physical access, and the Baal HaMor is right, and from the moment that the gazlan is willing to give access to the nixel, so then the physical access is there, and the control is back, and then the nixel can go ahead and be makdish. But once you tell me that the function is not a function of physical access, it's a function of halachic statement of halachic kinyan gezela, so that kinyan gezela is not going to disappear until the actual hashava is complete. So that's the Likudus of Machlokes in the Baal HaMor and the Rabban. So this is again, this is what they spoke about in Slobodka 100 years ago. This is the famous beer in the Olam HaYeshivas as to what the Likudus of Machlokes in the Baal HaMor and the Rabban is all about. Ultimately, what creates the Einar B'Shusa? Is Einar B'Shusa created by a lack of physical control? So that's solved once the control has in effect been granted in return. What do you say? No, the Einar B'Shusa was defined by a halachic entity. That halachic entity called the kidin gezela, and that kidin gezela can only be abolished once there's an actual formal hashava that takes place. Are there any nafkaminas ladina besides this very, very limited scenario where he says he's going to return it, he didn't return it yet? Is that, that's the only nakuda, that's the only point that the Baal HaMor and the Ramban are arguing about. So, l'chora, there should be another nafkamin l'dina. What would the halacha be in the following case? Let's say I lost something. It's not a gzeila. There's no bad person here. No gazlan here. It's an aveda. I have an animal. I own an animal. The animal goes, walks out of the barn, takes a shpitzia somewhere, and now it's floating around. I have no idea where it is. So what's the din? I decide that, I say, you know what? I'm makdish this l'shamayim. Or I go ahead and I say, listen, I'm going to be mafkir this animal. Or I sell this animal, maftana, whatever it is. I want to transfer ownership of an animal that's not sitting in my barn anymore, but I have no idea where it is. So it's a halachically in the status of what's called an aveda. So what's the din? Do I have the ability to be makdish in aveda? Do I have the ability to be mafkir, to be nice in maftana, to be meicher in aveda now? So the Achrayim write that l'chora this should depend on the machlekes, the balamon and rabban. So the Rishayim already have machlekes about this. So the Achrayim explained that l'chora this is the same shaila. This depends on the machlekes, balamon and the rabban. What is it that creates einu b'shusa? If you hold that einu b'shusa is a function of physical control, so then one can argue that that's also considered to be not in my control. What's the difference whether somebody stole the animal from me, so I can't get it, I can't put my hands on it, or the animal's walking around town somewhere, I have no idea where it is? So that's also lack of control. So Kol's man that I'm in lack of control for whatever reason, so that prevents me from having the ability to be makdish. That's the din of Eina B'shusa according to the Balamor. But according to the Ramban, that Eina B'shusa is not a function of lack of control. Eina B'shusa is a function of that there's another person here, there's another entity here called Kinyan Gezela. So there's no kinyan aveda. When I lose something, Mr. Aveda doesn't own it. When I lose something, it's still mine. No one has taken over yet. True, it's out of my physical control. I can't find it. I don't have access to it. But self-consult, there's nobody here who's creating another kinyan, which is detracting from my bialis on the item. So according to the Ramban, the definition of Eina B'shusa is a function of somebody else's kinyan. So that somebody else's kinyan doesn't exist in the realm of aveda. So that should be enough to mean as well. What would the din be in another case? What would that locha be if something is neither stolen from me nor is it lost from me, but it's just sitting in somebody else's property? How did it get to somebody else's property? He's my shomer. I'm a mafkid, he's a shomer. So I asked him to please watch it for me. So I gave somebody my car. I said, I'm going out of town. I drove my car into your driveway. I said, listen, do me a favor. You know, wash my car for the next 6 months. And I decided in the middle of those 6 months, I want to be makdish the car. Do I have the ability to be makdish it or not? Would we call that an Eina B'shusa? Would anybody think that a pikadon is considered to be an Eina B'shusa shaladon? So you have to start to think. You have to start to go through the cheshbon, Balamor and Ramban. So according to the Balamor, it doesn't make any sense. How could you say that a pikadon is called Eina B'shusa? According to the Balamor, it's all a function of do I have access, do I have control or not? So even in a case where the item was originally stolen from me, the Balamor says if the guy's willing to return it, that's already considered to be B'shusa. So the shomer is not going to be any worse than the gazlan who's willing to return it. So according to the Balamor, there's nothing to discuss. According to the Balamor, Vada, that's considered to be B'shusa. Of course I gave you B'shusa. But what about according to the Ramban? According to the Ramban, what creates the status of Eina B'shusa is somebody else's stake, somebody else's share in the item. What would the Ramban say about this kind of a case? Would the Ramban argue that a shomer is like a gazlan in this respect? As we read, when we introduced the principle of kidin gazela, we even gave the mashal, like the kidin ha-shomer, like the kidin ha-shol, kidin ha-seicher. The shomer also has a degree of achrayus. Again, it's not true. He doesn't have the same level as a gazlan. That is correct. But there is achrayus for shomer. Something happened when a shomer is watching an item. He has some kind of a stake in it. If he's a shoyel, he has the ability to use it. If he's a soicher, he's paying for the ability to use it. If he's a shomer chirim, shomer sachar, he doesn't have the rights to use it. That's called shlichus yad. But he does have an achrayus on the item. So should we argue that the status of a shomer is the halach equivalent of a gazlan, and that should prevent it from me being able to be makdish? Would anybody say such a thing? So l'chora, it's impossible to say such a thing. It's pashut that dvarim is that shita is an impossibility. Whether somebody actually says it or not is irrelevant. The pashut that dvarim, all the gemaras is that it's impossible to say such a thing. How do we know that it's impossible? Taisus shows you the gemaras that it can't be. It's not shach to say it. But we don't need the gemaras to tell us. It's obvious that that's the din. That it's impossible to say that a chayfus, which is a pikadon, is considered to be Eina B'shusa, based on the following reason. The gemara in Baba Kama in the seventh parak says that this statement of Rabbi Yochanan that that something which is stolen is considered to be Eina B'shusa is the source for the following halacha. There is a mishnah that says that hagoinim and haganov is potter min kefel. If Reuven steals something from Shimon, so Reuven stole an animal from Shimon, and the animal's sitting in Reuven's backyard, and then Levi comes and steals it from Reuven, so he has to give it back to the original owner, but he doesn't have to pay kefil. That's a beferish mishnah in Baba Kama. Goinim and haganov is potter min kefil. So the Gevara says, why is that? I stole. Also a ganav. Why am I patur mikefil? The Gemara says, let's analyze that din. The Gemara says that bishlama, that you don't have to pay to the first ganav, is a good way of making money. I steal an item, somebody steals the item from me, so I get the kefil. So Gemara says, no, that's for sure not. The fact that the ganav sheni doesn't have to pay the ganav rishon, I don't need any great chokhmah for that. Why is that? So the Gemara says, that's poshut. That a gonav and a ganav doesn't pay the original ganav. It says in the pasuk, "V'gunav in beis ish," that you only pay kefil to the ish. You only pay kefil to the owner of the item. But only beis a ganav. That's impossible. To say that you have to pay to the ganav, that doesn't make any sense. The Gemara says, "But why do you have to pay to the original ish? Because after all, the original ish still owns the item. So the item was stolen from although it was stolen technically." Quote unquote from the bar to the second guy, but it still be based ish, it still belongs to the original person. So why do you have to pay kefil to the original guy? So comes the Gemara and says, according to Rabbi Yechonon, it makes a lot of sense. According to Rabbi Yechonon, it says that when an item is eino b'shuso, so then it's not completely in my jurisdiction anymore. When it's halachically eino b'shuso, so I can't sell it, I can't be machter, I can't give it a matana. My bailus, so to speak, is being limited. So comes the Gemara and says, the din of kefil is when you steal an item from somebody, when that person has it shelo b'shuso. If it's my animal, my car sitting in my driveway, nobody else is touching it, and you come in and you steal it, that's the chiddush haTorah b'gunav beis ish. You must say ganav yishalem shnayim. Then you have to steal. Then you have to be careful. But just as it's not considered to be completely mine vis-a-vis hektesh hefker matan etc., so there's a chisaron in my bailus. It's not 100% mine anymore. Haraya, it's ainu b'shusi. Haraya, I can't be makdish. But the ability or inability to be makdish is a good litmus test to show whether it's mine or not. So it's not completely mine. There's a chisaron in my bailus. So that chisaron in bailus prevents me from collecting kefil as well. Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yechonon, this Mishnah makes a lot of sense. And what about according to Rish Lachish? According to Rish Lachish, who disagrees with Rabbi Yechonon, the Gemara says in Ochanami, Rish Lachish would have to disagree with this Mishnah also. That Rish Lachish would hold like the other Tanoim, who maybe disagree with this Mishnah. So the Gemara says, you're right, in Ochanami. So this did the Mishnah that a Gbanim and a Ganav is potter from kefil to the original owner only makes sense according to Rabbi Yechonon. According to Rish Lachish, Takal Din is not really true. So our kopana, we pass like Rabbi Yechonon. So we accept this Mishnah Bavakama. So we hold that the ultimate reason, the lumdus behind the din, that a ganav and a ganav is potter from kefil from the original owner, is based on Rabbi Yechonon's formulation, because it's called shalova ena b'shusa. In order to be zeichin kefil, it has to be shalcha uvirshuscha. So now, if that's correct, then we can be patient ashaya, then we can bring a raya. What's the din of a pikadun? If I'm watching an item for you, and the item gets stolen, is there kefil or not? So according to what we said, it should depend. If you hold that Shomer is like a Ganav, it's considered to be Einav Shuso, then the corollary of that statement should be there shouldn't be Kefil. So whenever something is stolen from the house of a Shomer, we should say the Balabais, the Mafkid, should never get Kefil. It should never be a din of Kefil, because that's called Einav Shuso. You can't say that. You know why you can't say that? It's a Pasuk in Chumash. That's the case of Kefil in the Chumash. The Torah in Parshas Mishpatim describes the whole Parsha of Kefil. The whole Parsha of Torah of Kefil is Hachav Mayaskinan in the case of a Shomer. So it's absurd, it's ludicrous to say that, no, I'll give you a lumbus based on a Rabban, but if you chesed, give a whole Shabbat Torah, there's no kefil if something is stolen from the base of Shomer. That's against the Pasuk, Zilkor Birav. So it's a Befesh Pasuk in Chumash. So what conclusion must we draw from the fact that the Torah itself gives the illustration of kefil from the base of Shomer? The answer is that a base of Shomer is not a base of Ganav. That a base of Ganav is called a Chisaron and Rishuso of the Nigna, but a base of Shomer is not a Chisaron of Rishuso of the Mafkid. Why is that? So the answer is either according to the Balamor, because you have control, or even according to the Ramban, a Kinyan Shmir is Nishkin, Kinyan Gezela, a Kinyan Ganev, a Kinyan Gezela. That's Mafkiya Bailos. A Kinyan Shmir is nothing, it's not a Mafkiya of anything. So when all the dust settles, we could throw out that potential in the straw man that maybe you could say a Shomer is like a Ganav, but it's not true. It's absurd to say such a thing because it's against the Beferish of Pasukim Chumash. So when all the dust settles, we have three potential models out there, three potential scenarios that are called Einu B'shuso. One is the Ganav-Nigzo relationship, one is the Aveda situation, and one is the Mafkid Shomer relationship. So the Ganav the Ghana slash Gaza relationship is for sure called Dana Bishuso, either for the Balamor's reason or on the Ramban's reason. The Shomer Mafkid relationship is for sure called Bishuso. That can't be. It was a fleeing wild Lamda Shahavamina, but it's dead wrong. The only one that's still negotiable is the middle case. The case of the Aveda. Is an Aveda considered to be Shali Ubishusi, or is an Aveda considered to be Shali Ve'enu Bishusi? So, Nachkamin Ladina, can I be Makdash, can I be Mafkrit, etc. So, that's going to depend ultimately on the Machlekes, the Balamor, and the Ramban. Do we have any Raiyas? Any Raiyas from the Gemara? Who's right? Balamor, the Ramban? So there's a Gemara in the beginning of Bav Metzia. I don't think we're going to get to it this year in Kol Boker, so we'll talk about it now. There's a Gemara of Zion. In Bava Metzia, where the Gemara quotes the din of Rabbi Yochanan, the din of Eina Bishuso, and the Gemara puts the brakes on the din of Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says that the only time that something is considered to be Eina Bishuso is only if it was metalpolin that was stolen. If somebody steals my car, steals my animal, then the din of Rabbi Yochanan, Eina Bishuso, Eina Yochel Hachdash kicks in. What if somebody steals my house? What if somebody steals my backyard? Somebody comes and throws me out of my backyard. So then the Gemara says, if I want to be Makdisha, I can still be Makdisha. Why is that? So it's a little bit unclear from the Gemara. The Gemara says that the din of Rabbi Yochanan, that Gezel, Eina Yochel Hachdish, that's my metalplin, but it doesn't apply to Karka. Karka is a different story. Karka is always considered to be Bishusa Shalodom. Why exactly is that? My Imanishtan of the Karka is always considered to be Bishusa Shalodom. So Chara, according to the Balamor, we have to analyze that, and then we have to further analyze it according to the Ramban. So according to the Balamor, it makes a lot of sense, because according to the Balamor, the whole din of Eina Bishusa is a question of control, a question of accessibility. So when somebody steals my car, the car is not accessible to me anymore. So I don't even know what a car is. The guy can take the car, drive it off to California, and never see it again. The guy steals my animal, he'll hide the animal somewhere, I'll never see it again. So a gazela is by definition, a gazela's metalatlin is by definition not called bishuso, it's not accessible. Gazela's karka, where's he going to take the karka? The karka's here. Where's he going to go? So he's standing there with a shotgun, not letting me come onto the land. So I'll get the basin, I'll get the sheriff, I'll come, I'll bump him off the land. He said that it's always called accessible. Karka by definition, karka, if you're arse, a little modest, it's not going anywhere. So karka by definition, according to the Balamor, cannot possibly fall into the category of Eino Bishut. So because it's missing that chisaron, it's missing that limitation of lack of accessibility. But what about according to the Ramban? According to the Ramban, why is karka different than metalatlin? So the answer is, according to the Ramban, it's based on another principle. That's the Mishnah in the very end of Bava Kamma. And then Tafkuf Yud Zayin, the very last couple of lines of Bava Kamma. So the Mishnah in the Gemara develops the following principle, that the dinim of gazela primarily don't apply to karka. Gazal sada v'shat fanar omla v'shat chalafanecha. The Mishnah says, it's a very short Mishnah, 7 words. The Mishnah says, if I steal your field, what does it mean? How do I steal your field? I can't pick up your field. The answer is, I come to you and I bump you off, I throw you off your field, and I moved in, v'shat fanar, and now the river overflows. The river ruins the entire field. So now you come and you take me to a din tayr, and you say, hey, you stole my field. V'hashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashashash So comes the mission and says, Omila Reshu Khalafanecha. The Gazan can say to the Nixel, here's your field. He says, hey, here it is. I'm leaving. It's your field. I, it's underwater. I, it's worthless. It's not my problem. It's your problem. How could that be? How could the Gazan say that? If I steal a car and the car gets blown away in a tornado, I can't say Reshu Khalafanecha. I have to pay you cash. There's din of Heshem v'sak zeila. So how come there's no din of Heshem v'sak zeila on karka? So the answer is, the Gemara says, because three words, karka in and exelis, that the din of gezeila doesn't apply to karka. The Gemara derives this from Sukkim and Pashas Vayikra, that gezeila is on metalatla and gezeila is not on karka. That means that I'm allowed to do that. That means I can come to your back, I can come into your field and throw you off the field. No. So the Rishonim write, there's an issa gezeila in karka. When I steal karka, I'm still in violation of an issa gezeila, but it's karka in and exelis. That means vis-a-vis the chi of Hashava, the parish of Heshem v'sak zeila. Doesn't apply to karka. I can't be kind of karka with a king gazelle. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So there's no gazelas karka in terms of there's no gazlan, there's no veheshiv, there's no kinyan gazelle on karka, and therefore there's no chiv achrayas on karka. This is a gazelle of other there is, but a chiv achrayas is not going to be. So that's why, according to the Ramban, the Gemara reads like a charm. The Gemara says that when do we say this? The Nevena B'Shuso, that's on Gazelas Tatlin. But in Gazelas Karka, it's not true. Because in Gazelas Karka, there's no such thing as Gazelas Karka. So it's only when there's a Kenyan Gazela, that's Mafkia, the Bailos of the original owner. So that makes a lot of sense. Then we can understand why why it's called Eina B'Shus, you can't be Makdish it. But if you steal my house, you steal my backyard, so you didn't really steal it, you're not a Gazla, you don't have a Kinyan Gazela. So since you don't have a Kinyan Gazela, Mimele, you don't have anything to be Mafkia, my original ownership, my original bias, so Mimele, I can still be Makdish it. So a Kopan, when all this dust settles, you don't have any Rayas from the Gemara to either the Balamor or the Ramban. The Balamor had one definition of Eina B'Shus, so the Ramban had a very, very different definition of Eina B'Shus. So, the potential nafkamina would be the case, two nafkaminas, the case where the Gazan is willing to return the item, or case number two, the case of the Aveda, the case of the Shomer is not a good nafkamina, that's B'Shus, according to everybody. The one Gemara that we thought would shed some light on it, the Gemara of Zelos Karka, can be understood either according to the Balamor or the Ramban. So, Chopanim, this principle of Eina B'Shus is another example where you have an item that I thought that I own, and yet, not completely. You have multiple bailus in the same item. So next week, we have to continue this principle of B'Shus, how this plays out, the same way we've been trying to show how a lot of these Chashim Mishpat, these very, very concepts, play out lemais in terms of Orachayim and Yerdeil. From next week, we'll see how some of this may play out in terms of Ashmir Samitz, in terms of some real, real shilas that come up, in terms of Orachayim and Yerdeil, what these guidelines of B'Shus are all about.